And good morning, KRFY listeners. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFY Morning Show. I'm Susie Prez. I'm here not with my co-host Chris Bessler this morning, but I am here with two smiling friends, bicycling friends, people in our community. We'll talk about that in a minute. But today is Wednesday, April 26, 2023, so welcome to the day. Today we have, as I said, two bicycle enthusiasts is what I'm calling these guys, in to talk about a few upcoming bicycle rides, tours, and the Ponderé Pedalers organization. So we have Jason Welker. He's the executive director from Ponderé Pedalers. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Susie.
And we have Charles Mortensen, owner of Siringo Cyclery. And how else would you describe yourself, Charles?
Oh, that pretty much sums it up, I'd say.
Former Ponderé Pedalers president as well. So we have a close relationship with our bike shop owner friends, and Charles is one of them.
Okay. That sounds really good. And also, at the end of this interview, which we are live in the studios, I have a recorded interview with I had a chance to talk with representatives from the West Bonner County School District about the upcoming supplemental simple levy on May 16th. It's on the ballot there here in Bonner County, and you'll hear all about it. We discussed the whys, when, and where of that levy. It was recorded on Monday, April 24th. And I'll play that when we're done talking with these guys. So first I'm going to do the weather. Are you okay with that? It's always about the weather, isn't it?
For sure.
Okay. We have currently 37 degrees from the National Weather Service. Patchy fog today, mostly cloudy. I don't think that's true. I think it's going to be sunny today. It seems like it's been saying cloudy and then the sun just shines all day. High today of 66. Here comes the good weather, folks. Slight chance of showers tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 42, and then it's sunshine all the way through the week and through the weekend. Highs 79 on Saturday and Sunday.
That's wild.
Completely sunny. Okay, that's all I have to say about that. Yay. We're ready for it, I have no doubt. And so there you have it, the weather from the National Weather Service. So let's talk about Ponderé Pedalers. What do you want to talk about first? Jason Welker, executive director
of
Ponderé Pedalers. Why do we have Ponderé Pedalers? What is it? Tell us about this organization.
Great question. So Ponderé Pedalers, or POP as we call ourselves, we were formed about 19 years ago by basically a group of local cycling enthusiasts who wanted opportunities for social bike-related opportunities. And so for the first, I'd say, 7 or 8 years, it was primarily just a group cycling club, and they would do organized group rides on roads in the valley, up on the rugged trails of the Selkirks and Cabot Mountains, and on some of our local trail networks in places like Mineral Point and Gold Hill and up at Schweitzer and below Schweitzer. But starting around 2012, we kind of transitioned to become more of a trails organization. So we became an advocacy group for places to ride mountain bikes. And in addition, we started building mountain bike trails on private property near town. So most of the listeners will probably be familiar with the Siringa Trail System, or Sherwood Forest, as it's sometimes called.
Well, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So there's a local couple that acquired 120 or so acres in the mid-2000s. And a few years later, they invited Ponderé Pedalers to start building some trails on that property. So we started out with about 5 or 6 miles of trails built over a few years in what's called Sherwood Forest, up off of Ravenwood Lane and Siringa Heights Road. And in 2019, the Kinixu Land Trust, which most listeners will be familiar with, acquired an additional 160 acres just adjacent to Sherwood Forest. And Ponderé Pedalers became the group that came in and built most of the trails in what is today Pine Street Woods. And one more addition to the Siringa Trail System in 2020, actually, a board member of Ponderé Pedalers acquired an additional 100 acres just south of Pine Street Woods, and that property is today known as VTT, which is actually the French abbreviation for mountain bike. It's Vélo Tout Terrain, and needless to say, the owners of that property were keen on having mountain bike trails, so POP started in 2020 and 2021 building what is today about a five-mile trail network in VTT. So together, between those three properties, Sherwood Forest, Pine Street Woods, and VTT, POP has built over 15 miles of trail since around 2012. And those are today what we usually just call our local trails. They're kind of our backyard trail system, open for hikers, for bikers, and in the winter for cross-country skiing, fat biking, snowshoeing, and all of those fun activities.
So is this pretty unique to a community this size to have 15 miles of off-road trails in the woods?
What makes it really unique is that those trails are all on private property, but they're all open to the public. I've traveled and, you know, many listeners have traveled all over the country, all over the West. And you, if you're like me, you're always looking for a place to go ride your bike or go for a hike when you're in a cute little town. Usually you're going to end up on Forest Service property, on BLM land, possibly county land, maybe city land. The fact that these properties are all privately owned, yet the owners generously let users onto their property to recreate, that's really unique. And it also gives us some freedoms that you wouldn't have if we were doing trail work and building trails on, let's say, Forest Service property. It's usually a lot easier to get work done on private land and to maintain trails. And it's a real gift that we have over 400 acres of private forested hillside 1 mile from town with so much trail available on it. So that's kind of the unique part. I think having a lot of trails near small towns in the West is not super unique, but they're usually on federal lands.
And so when they're on federal or state lands, there's more regulations on how to maintain or build or things like that?
All of those things, yes. And often they're for the better, of course. You know, Forest Service, to build a mile of trail on Forest Service land could take 3 years of red tape to get the permission. And there's sorts of regulations about types of use that's allowed, whether horses, afoot, motorized, non-motorized. We get to make those decisions with the landowners on private land. On federal land, that's just something that's, you know, beyond our control.
Wow, that's pretty good. And I would say Ponderay Peddlers had played a big role in kind of this development. Now, did you say when this organization kind of came about?
Yeah, it did form as early as 2004, but it was just a social cycling club for the first few years. It was really in the early 2010s that we became kind of an advocacy group for more trails and a group that builds and maintains mountain bike specific trails. And we continue our advocacy efforts today. We continue social rides. We have usually two or three social rides a week, whether it's gravel, road, or mountain bike, dirt trails. Those are led by members or by board members. So the social part is still huge. And something that's really increased in the last few years is weekly trail work parties where we do maintenance or we help build new trails alongside our professional contractors. So right now we're doing trail work parties every Thursday night. We started 3 weeks ago. We'll continue tomorrow night and we'll continue through the end of October, most likely. And that's how we maintain those 15 miles of trail, plus a whole lot more trail that exists in the Little Sand Creek watershed, on city property, on Schweitzer property. We have another 12 miles or so that we maintain kind of in the Schweitzer Mountain Road area. And there's going to be more in the coming years as well.
So this is a lot of work. This is a huge project, so to speak. And I'm wondering, it's all volunteer. Basically, you have a bit of staff there. What is your population, your organization's membership sort of look like?
Great question. I am the only staff person, and I'm a part-time executive director, like a lot of EDs in this town for nonprofits. So almost all of our work is member driven. We do have a working board. I'm very thankful for our board of directors. Particularly, I'd like to thank Paula Lee, a longtime board member and an original POP member from back in the day. She's our treasurer and she kind of keeps our books balanced and makes sure that we have the money coming in, exceeding the money going out. And there's a lot of money going out these days with all the work we're doing. But other than that, most of the maintenance work we do is done by a very enthusiastic group of volunteers. And we are a paid membership organization, and we have around 800 paying members right now, which is quite large for a town of 10,000. So we've grown fourfold since 2019 in terms of our membership. And that's about the time I got involved and started, you know, you create the social media accounts, you start doing more outreach, you start doing regular newsletters, one a week we send to our members. And that just keeps member involvement high. And on a typical Thursday night trail work party, we'll have, I'd say on the low end, 12 volunteers come out, on the high end up to 30 volunteers come out for a 2 hour session of swinging dirt tools and, you know, doing the maintenance on our many miles of trails.
Wow, I'm impressed. 800 paying members.
Yeah.
So what does a membership cost? Is it like just basically make a donation, or do you have levels?
We have like levels from individual memberships at $25 up to family memberships at $60. And then we have tiered membership options up to $150 that would allow you to walk into a local shop like Outdoor Experience or Alpine Shop and claim some really cool swag, kind of like the t-shirt that I'm wearing today. We have lots of hats and socks and t-shirts and all sorts of swag. So we incentivize people to become members by offering them some of that kit in return.
A really cool green t-shirt with Pop on it.
Yeah.
So Charles Mortensen, what's your role in all of this gigantic, enthusiastic activity?
Well, Jason and Pop and I work together on the 3/4 Minus. That's coming up May 6th. 3/4 Minus cycle tour. It's a gravel ride. Two routes. We've been doing it since 2019 with a 2-year hiatus during the pandemic. So this year is our third actual event. And that's one of the events that we do. We also do, in the fall, we do the cyclocross, Crossoverfest, which started with Team Autism back in 2012, I believe it was, at the U of I property, and we do it now out at Hickey Farms in October.
And that's Crosstoberfest.
Crosstoberfest. It's a cyclocross race, regional cyclocross.
Okay, so that's where you have a course and people are going fast and getting very muddy and stuff like
yes,
that.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Yes.
And
we like those events.
Yeah, so that's your second event, and you've got a new one coming up.
There's a new one coming up that Pop is going to be helping us out with, and it's called the Monarch Grind. It's another gravel ride back behind the Green Monarchs. It's going to be a tough one in September.
Tough. So when you say tough, what does that mean?
It means a lot of climbing and a lot of tough terrain on gravel bikes, which are essentially road bikes with knobby tires. Okay. And it's going to be just a lot of up and down all day long, 70 miles,
70 miles
feet of climbing.
So there's no in between, like for the wimpy people. Well,
no, just
or for people that aren't ready for 70 miles,
just one route.
Okay.
And it's part of a series, a new gravel series.
So around the country you've hooked into?
No, actually it's just a local regional. Okay. Bonner County series, including the 3/4 Minus, the Chafe, which is adding a gravel route this year.
Okay.
And the Monarch Grind. So we'll have a point series. People get points for their placings in each of those, and then at the end we do an award
ceremony. Yeah. And party and music. So I just want to go back. So there's three things coming up, and you've hooked into Chafe in mm-hmm. this series thing. Let's talk a little bit about the 3/4 Minus.
Okay.
And I'm going to try to say that word that we were spelling out, cycle tour. And yes. Tell us about that word real quick, and then...
It basically means bike ride or bike tour in Danish.
In Danish.
And our friend Jason Meshberg came up with that name.
Oh. And Charles is half Danish, so... Yeah.
Half Danish. Yeah. Half Danish, okay. So
and 3/4 Minus refers to gravel, essentially. That's what they use for road base. So 3/4 Minus has a gravel connection.
So it literally translates to gravel bike ride.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is kind of boring. If you organize an event called gravel bike ride, people are going to say, I could do that on my own.
So creative people came up with 3/4 cycle tour.
Yeah,
I came up with a 3/4 part, and Jason came up with the
sequel tour.
Sequel tour. Yeah.
Okay, so what does that look like? It's coming up May 6th.
May 6th. So we have our start line is on Oak Street between Matchwood Brewing and Syringa Cyclery. And then we have two routes, mostly out in the Selle Valley, including the long route includes all the trails through VTT and Pine Street Woods. And then there's some tough climbing in the far northern reaches of Selle Valley on the long route, especially with a little bit of snow on it. Right now, we still have 2 miles of snow on the long course, which hopefully is going to melt with this 79 degree weather coming up. But we're going to go up there and check it out. And so if there's snow, people will just have to hike across it, It's just sure. the way it goes.
Just pick the bike up and walk.
It's more fun than it sounds.
Yeah.
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 It's probably, I mean, I don't think anybody takes on a gravel bike event unless they want a little bit of a challenge at right. some point.
Yeah.
It can be an adventure for sure.
So then there's a nice party at the end of it at Matchwood Brewing.
That's called the Granary District.
Yep.
Right down there.
Okay. Yeah, Granary District. They're going to have a band.
Who's playing?
I can't remember who's playing there right now. Andrea told me yesterday, now I forgot.
So you must have, this is, sounds like a big project again, just to like, you know, have all the road signs in place. Who's doing the, how many ambulances do you have?
We spend a couple of days putting all the road signs up. We have to get a permit, an encroachment permit with the county. And they require us to put signs at every intersection.
And so that's all
plus our directional arrows for the riders, which without those, they wouldn't know where they're going.
And all through the Pine Street Woods and the whole area up there, too.
That will all be signed as well. So people don't get lost on those 15 miles of trail. They just need to get from one side of the property to the other. So there's signs to help them do that.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Jacobs is playing at Matchwood.
He's great.
Oh, he's great. He's a real good friend of KRFY's. He's just downstairs in Evergreen Realty, so we like him. He's really good. So one of the other things is it still an open ride? I mean, can people still, who are hearing about this for the first time, which would be amazing.
Oh, yeah. Registration is open. Probably the easiest way to get to registration is to go to syringacyclery.com.
Can you spell that for us?
It's syringacycle.com, and there you can find links for registration.
There's also, I think, because I looked there, links for the Monarch Grind.
Yes, and that Monarch Grind is a benefit for KRFY and the Panetta Theater, and in conjunction with that, the week before the race is on September 16th, on the Friday the 8th, I believe it is, September. We're going to have a movie night at the Panetta, which we're going to be showing the feature film Breaking Away from 79, I think it was. Classic film.
Acclaimed classic film.
Yeah, it's a great one. And before that, we're going to be showing a short film by Scott Rulander, Gem Visions, who is really good at what he does. We've already started filming part of it.
Local
it's
guy.
It's going to be a gravel-themed short film, mostly about the three-quarter minus, but we'll be showing it then. It'll premiere then.
Kind of a recap. I think it's very exciting. I can imagine if you're not a bike rider, come on down to the, well, you could go down to the Granary District on Saturday, May 6th after the race and watch these riders come in and then hang out for the good music and see what's going on. But it's an exciting thing to see bikes moving through space. Mm-hmm. And this movie, Breaking Away, that will play on September 8th, I imagine that's incredibly exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, we're looking forward to that.
Yeah. And so KRFY would like to thank you both for... is this sponsored by Pendere Peddlers?
Yes, Pendere Peddlers are going to be helping with the logistics of that race. Mm-hmm.
So if I could add something here, we're really lucky to have Charles and Syringa Cyclery putting on cycling events like this. I would point out that in a lot of communities that have bike races, you know, there's local businesses and promoters who organize those and they run them and they, you know, charge $100, $200 to get in and they keep all the profits. Yeah. Charles covers his costs, which are, you know, there's costs associated with timing and permitting and then all the hours that he and others put into, you know, putting out the signs on the roads and everything and all the coordination. But all the profits from his events that POP supports go to a local nonprofit. Sometimes that's POP, sometimes it's KRFY in the Panetta. So the three-quarter minus, all the proceeds, all the profits from that are going to be donated to Pendere Peddlers to help us with our fundraising efforts this year, which we have three different fundraising efforts going on.
Sure.
Yeah. And then the Crosstoberfest is also a collaborative effort. We, you know, put in hours and hours of volunteer effort preparing the course and helping run the race. But Charles doesn't keep any of the profits. He actually donates quite a bit of additional funds towards pop as after the Crossed Oktoberfest event in October as well. So we benefit financially from these, but it also is part of our mission to build excitement around cycling in our community, to make Sandpoint a real bike town. We have to put on events like this. So The Chafe is a great example of that. That brings in hundreds of cyclists from all over the world every year. Mm-hmm. With the 3/4 minus in Crossed Oktoberfest and now the Monarch Grind, we're just building on, you know, kind of a foundation that Chafe created decades ago when they put on their first 150-mile road bike race.
Are you finding a lot of enthusiasm for these? Well, so far the 3/4 and Crossed Oktoberfest, which has been going on for a while, a lot of people participate.
Yeah, and in particular, gravel racing is probably, you know, the biggest growing sector of the cycling.
What's fun about racing? That? Tell us about that, just from your own experience or from what you've seen. Well, why is it growing? What's fun?
From my perspective, I have a mountain biking background, but I actually like riding my gravel bike more because it's a more versatile kind of riding. I can hop on my bike at home. I can ride pavement to the Pine Street Woods trail system, Syringa trail system, ride my gravel bike on all those trails, get back onto gravel roads, mix it up with all sorts of different terrain, and you can just go on all day that way. So it's kind of
fun.
Versatile.
Yeah, yeah, versatile. That's a good word for it.
Ten years ago, if you had been on a mountain bike trail and seen somebody with what looks like a road bike with the curly drop bars, you would have thought that person had escaped from an institution of some sort, because it would have been thought of as crazy to ride a bike like that on a single track mountain bike trail 10, 15 years ago. But almost every time I'm out doing trail work or riding my mountain bike, I see, you know, a friend, somebody like Charles or Scott, the filmmaker. I just saw him day before yesterday riding down Pinecone in Pine Street Woods, one of the mountain bike trails, on his drop bar gravel bike. And it's not unusual
tires,
anymore.
Right?
Now they're not big knobby tires like a mountain bike. They're kind of in between a mountain bike tire and a road bike tire. Yeah. So it looks, honestly, from a distance, they look just like road bikes. The kind of thing you might see in the Tour de France. But when you look a little closer, they've usually got disc brakes and they've got slightly wider and knobbier tires. So they have some of those characteristics of a mountain bike.
Hydraulic stuff.
Mm-hmm. Going on. Which allows for, you know, stopping on steep trails and so on. But Charles nailed it, though. The fact that you can leave your house in Sandpoint and go for a 50, 60-mile ride and throw in some fun trails. You would never have done that on a road bike with, you know, slick tires made just for pavement.
This is pretty amazing, actually. I just want to remind our listeners here at 88.5 KRFY, this is The Morning Show. It's Wednesday, April 26th, and I'm Susie Prez. I'm talking with Charles Mortensen, owner of Syringle Cyclery, and kind of the hub of all things off-road or gravel, and executive director of Ponderay Pedalers, Jason Welker. So we're sitting here talking fun things. What are you seeing? I already asked you, it's a growing, I don't want to say industry, but a growing outdoor recreational thing that gets people enthusiastic. What do you see for the future? Are you going to do more? I mean, you've got a whole new one coming up in the fall. On September 16th. So
yeah. So the as far as gravel events are concerned, I mean, we created this series for, this is the first year for it, and we're calling it the Idaho Panhandle Gravel Series.
Okay.
So I see it as kind of open right now. It's 3/4 minus, Chafe, and Monarch Grind. But if there were other organizers who had rides that they wanted to add to that series, I could see that being how it develops in the future, but yeah.
Yeah. As far as other cycling events, you know, Ponderay Pedalers are always looking for opportunities. We put on youth programs 3 times a year, after school programs for local 7 to 12-year-olds.
What do those programs look like?
Yeah.
I think it's really important.
Mm-hmm.
And also my big thing, wearing helmets. Okay, thank you.
Oh, yeah. So actually, that reminds me of another event that we have coming up on May 12th. We have a bike rodeo at Traverse Park. This is in partnership with Lake Ponderay School District and the Safe Routes to School program. I encourage any listeners to bring their kids out to Traverse Park. We're going to be doing free bike tune-ups, and there will be free helmets provided by the school district. So for kids awesome. Who, yeah, one of the things that drives me crazy is when I see kids riding around Sandpoint with no helmets on. I'll be honest, I'm a little guilty of that when I ride my townie bike like I did here this morning. I don't always put on a helmet. But kids in particular, they're usually the ones dropping off of curbs and looking for little jumps to hit. They should really be wearing helmets. So we'll have free helmets on May 12th at Traverse Park.
And the time of that?
That'll be from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock. And then the next morning at 11 o'clock, we'll be at McNierney Park in Ponderay. There's a pump track there, and Ponderay Pedalers will be there with the city of Ponderay and the school district again, giving away free helmets, doing free bike tune-ups for kids, and we're doing skills and safety instruction for kids. Now, that's not part of our youth programming. Our youth programming is an after-school program that starts a week from Monday, goes for 5 weeks, and that's a mountain bike instruction program. So that's going to start a week from Monday in Pine Street Woods, 4 days a week. We've got, unfortunately, the spring clinics are already full, but there's still some room in our after-school clinics for the fall, which start in September. So anybody interested in signing their kids up can go to PondereyPedalers.org and look for a link to youth programs. We also do a summer camp, 2 weeks in August. These are a five-day summer camp, 3 to 4 hours a day with professional coaches, and we get kids out on area trails and do all the instruction and skill development that will lead to the next generation of mountain bikers in Sandpoint.
I would add that the city is also involved in cycling stuff. For instance, they put on the Schweitzer Hill Climb in the fall every year.
Oh, wow.
They also do bike repair and maintenance clinics through the city where people sign up, and it's like an evening cycling repair, and they're actually doing it out of Syringa Cyclery this year with one of our mechanics teaching the classes. Kind of a nice...
I add to that as well? The city is not just partnering and programming with Syringa Cyclery and POP, but... they are also partnering with POP and Kinnixu Land Trust and the Sandpoint Nordic Club on a trails master plan for the city's property in the Little Sand Creek watershed. So we're going to be hearing more about this. It's going to be presented at city council meeting coming up in a month or so. This is a plan that we've been working on for a long time now, actually going back to 2013 when a vision for what was called the Watershed Crest Trail. I remember hearing Charles on this very show probably 6 or 7 years ago talking about the Watershed Crest Trail.
I remember that too.
Yeah. We're finally going to have a plan that includes the Watershed Crest Trail along with lots of additional new trail on city, Forest Service, Schweitzer, BLM property in the Little Sand Creek watershed. So that's really exciting. Ponderay Pedalers is at the forefront of that. We are already writing grant applications to help build some of that trail. We're going to be working starting next month, most likely, on some improvements to existing trails alongside Schweitzer Mountain Road. And with any luck, we'll be building new trails for non-motorized users on city and Forest Service property for the next 8 or 10 years. So
I can't I really say anything other than awesome, you guys, because, Sandpoint's known as a ski town. But it's really a biking town in all different kinds of ways. And the educational component of both of what you're doing with Ponderay Pedalers, you didn't say that in the beginning. You just talked about the fun.
Yeah.
But the educational component is really exciting because it has a different relationship to biking. If a child, a younger person, learns about their bike, how to use it, how to tune it up. And I commend Syringa Cyclery for helping people do that, you know, and find, and the whole helmet thing. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And what you mentioned, we're known as the ski town. Well, we're also known as a lake town. So, we like to say that between the mountain and the lakes are all these wonderful trails. Mm-hmm. And actually, the best time to enjoy trails is that shoulder season between the ski season and the lake season, before it gets too hot, before the dirt gets too dry and everything gets dusty. Mm-hmm. So this is really an activity for locals, for the community. It's free for the most part. And for kids who maybe don't have access to good bikes, we now have a bike scholarship program for Ponderay Pedalers. This year, we've given out 15. Well, we will be giving out. We've already accepted all the applications and selected the students who will be receiving free mountain bikes and scholarships to one of our after-school or summer programs. So that's been with support from Lighthouse, from our membership, which comes to our fundraising events and has donated thousands of dollars to support scholarship programs. Yeah, so cycling is definitely something that's growing in our area.
How exciting.
Yeah. And it's in no small part thanks to Charles and our partners at the city as well. Maeve, I got to mention Maeve, and Jason Wiley, who puts on the hill climb.
They're pointing at each other, folks. You can't see and can only hear. They're both giving each other a lot of kudos. And KRFY really thanks both of you and partnering with, you know, we'll be sponsors for anything you want us to be, but offering the fundraiser in the fall as a benefit for KRFY and the Panada. Thank you very much for that, because like all the 2,500 whatever nonprofits in the area, we appreciate the support. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Glad to do it.
And any last things you'd like to say besides all this fun stuff you've already said?
Sign up for three-quarter minus.
Yeah.
And okay. if you don't sign up, you mentioned coming for the finish. Mm-hmm. It's also really fun to come for the start. 10 o'clock.
Okay. Yeah.
The over 100 cyclists will be rolling out from Matchwood at 10 o'clock on Saturday, May 6th.
Yeah.
And that'll be real festive. So we recommend.
Our finish arch is right in the street on Oak Street.
Do you have a cowbell? Like for the beginning?
Yeah, we'll have some cowbells. We'll have a police escort out of town. Okay. So this year we're reversing the direction of the course. So we'll have an escort out to Traverse Park on Pine Street. And then let her rip.
Yeah.
It sounds good. I want to thank you, Charles Mortensen, for all that you do for our community, and you, Jason Welker, for the same thing, being part of what makes this town and this area so special. We have bikes. We have a whole thing about bikes. So thanks, guys.
And we have KRFY.
Yay,
yeah.
A community radio station. We think it's pretty awesome, too.
Yeah.
And so thank you.